As Charles was playing and singing, most know that Tanya and I had a music teacher. Her name was Miss Johnson. No Not One was one of her favorite songs, and she would get to shimmering, and she was moved by the Spirit. She loved it. She loved it. And that was empowering to us when we played. So much so that we were blessed with the opportunity to be special guests at her going away service. She wanted us to be there when she laid before the people. Of course, she had gone on to be with the Lord, but that was one of her requests. And we went there and we played that song as if she was standing there singing it. Bless God. There is no friend like Jesus. No friend like him at all. Of course, it really is an impact when you're going through something and you've got a friend with you. And sometimes you can't get to family, and my family is right on it. But sometimes they're not there in the middle of the night. But what a friend we have in Jesus. There's no one like him, and I love him today. The praise team sung, "When the Saints Go to Worship." That's what God's calling for, is for us to be on one accord. Things can happen when we are on one accord and we go before the throne of God and we worship him. Giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, to Pastor Ronnie, to Assistant Pastor Sabrina, to all the ministers, to the deacons, to the trustees, the ushers, Mother Gloria, to all of Rhema, to my family and my friends, to my wonderful son, Amit. He wasn't expecting that I would say something, but I just want to put it out there because he's so far away from me. He came in from California with his eldest son, Arian, and they don't know how thrilled I am. But God placed inside of that little boy at the time when he was little, he would say things to me, and I would be wowed by it because I know that that was a word from God that would come from him. But now in his older years, the wisdom that God has poured on him, when I was going through such a traumatic time, he spoke some things in my life that I had to take my cell phone away and look at it and put it back and say, "Is that my son?" We as parents feel that we should be the ones giving that, right? But blessed be God that he places people in our lives to give us what we need at the time that we need it, and that's what he did. And not only him, but God blessed him with a wife, Shantae, who's not here with us because this was an unexpected trip for them, but placed inside beside him a wife who also pours into me. I am truly blessed. Amen. They give me such words of encouragement, and I'm grateful for that. Their support and their wisdom is just phenomenal to me. And also to the baby son, Adrian, who's in California with mommy. I just want to acknowledge them too. Would you stand with me, please, as we go into the Word of God? Hebrews 3. Verses 7 through 13. And as Pastor says, if you're there, say amen. All who have electronics, say amen. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, and I'll add that that means doubted God's presence and his care for them, proved me, same thing, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Amen for the reading of God's word. You may be seated. There's always someone to set an example, whether it be good or bad. I'd rather it not be me in the setting of the bad example. Either way, good or bad, there should be something learned and wisdom gained to know how to use that example. For example, someone walks across the highway holding their hand up, traffic's going by. We know that I know I may be driving 70, 75, 80 miles an hour, and somebody walk out on the highway with their hand up, the expectation from them is probably for me to stop. But I'm going to tell you, that may be close to nil of happening. I may screech or my tires, but I may not stop on the dime. That's dangerous living. That's a bad example. They either have disfigurement, some type of injury, or death and can't tell the story. So we don't go by that bad example, okay? Bad experiences, bad example to live. A good example, or financial, an example for me would be a financial advisor. I have a company in which most of us, from the companies that we work with, we've got someone helping us with our 401ks and our retirements. That's good. They give us the wherewithal and how we should go forward and having the appropriate amount of funds when we decide that we're going to retire. I also have some personal financial advisors, and their company name is Ahmed Shante Robinson and Bob Day, who tells me what I need to decrease as far as debt and what I need to put aside to save. Well, I know that that's a good example because they are examples of that. What they teach me is what I see them doing. Good example. So I have evidence of their diligence. So I'll follow what they say. This scripture in Hebrews is about the Israelites, and it's a true example of good and bad examples. What we do when we listen to God, when we ignore God, when we listen to our flesh, when we listen to others, and how the enemy can infiltrate, or in some cases, how we invite him in and allow him to move in the camp. Here's a brief reminder of what happened to the children of Israel after the death of Joseph. They were living in Egypt, doing good, high on the horse, had food, had money, good life. Whatever they wanted, they had it. They were growing in numbers, living off the blessing of Joseph, until a new king came in town. He didn't know Joseph, didn't care about him. All this king could see is that there were too many of them, and they were strong and mighty. And they would probably join his army and take over Egypt. You know how your mind makes these things, these weird things come up? That's what was going on in that king's mind, all this activity going on. So he put some taskmasters over them to afflict them. Here we go in the workplace. They were working long, hard hours. No wages, no breaks, no FMLA, no vacations. Endure workplace violence and harassment, physical and emotional and verbal abuse. Well, it didn't work because the children of Israel continued to multiply. Continued on. That wasn't enough punishment for the king of Egypt. So he had the Hebrew midwives to kill the babies who were boys born at birth. Fast forward. children of Israel were calling out to God to save them. While all this was going on, they were crying out. When the saints go to worship, they were crying out. Now, this is my note. Everyone may have cried out to God, but God only responded to the prayers of the righteous ones, because not everybody in there was righteous. So it is today in the church. Psalms 10 and 17a says, and this is NIV, "You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted." Psalm 34, 15 and 17 says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." God sent Moses to deliver them. They witnessed the plague sent by God to Pharaoh. They were ready to get out of Egypt. They had had enough of the abuse, the oppression, the prison, depression, etc. At their exodus, they witnessed God send the wind of the Holy Spirit to open the sea into walls to allow millions of them to cross on the dry bed of the seafloor and witness their enemies' destruction. But it only took 3 days, y'all, before they began to complain. All of that they had gone through in Egypt, God brings them out, and 3 days they forgot everything that happened during all of those years that they were there in bondage. They didn't have any water to drink. Why did you bring us out here to die? We would have been better off in chains of abuse and people without moral good. God provided the water of Christ from the rock, and they were high again. So they're like addicts. "Give it to me, make me feel good. I don't need you now, I got my high." Until the high is gone. Then I need you again. I'm not putting down or belittling the Israelites, not at all. And here's why. They are us. We are them. The church. Believers in Christ. Remember, Hebrews says today, and today means now. If you will hear his voice and harden not your heart, that means don't turn a cold heart. Don't ignore him. As in the rebellion, in the day you were tested in the wilderness. This wilderness journey was not to last 40 years. They rebelled. They were disobedient. Here's something to think about. The Israelites had the good news preached to them, were redeemed by the blood on the doorpost, passed through the Red Sea, were baptized, partook of spiritual food, the manna that God fed them all those years, drank from the spiritual drink, the living water of Christ, when Moses struck the rock, and were led by the Holy Spirit, the cloud by day and the fire by night. God is a forgiving and faithful God, and he was that and more for them, but it grieved him that they just didn't get it. They didn't know him after all they had been through. They were distracted by their own ambitions. Who would make a God in the shape of a calf and worship it? Now, don't be too quick to say, "Not me." What do you place before God? What have you constructed and positioned it in front of God? That is what the church has done for many, many years. Just as God said to the Israelites, "So I swear by my wrath." You know, God is a promise keeper. And what he says is going to come to pass. "So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." He meant it, and he means it today, now, this present age. It's not an old message. It's not a new message. It is a today message. Now, I love my dad, but I was afraid of him when I was a little girl. And I'm careful now. Because when I disobeyed him or my mother, well, let me say it, there was no talking from them. It was no, "Glenda, it's okay. You understand what you did. It's all right. Just don't do it again, okay?" It was none of that. Not at all. The drama was me crying and feeling the pain as the consequence of my disobedience and hearing my dad, after the whooping, say, put a smile on your face. I'm in pain, you just whooped me, and you want me to smile. That don't add up. 1 + 1 = 2, but a whooping and crying and a smile just don't add up to anything. No multiplication, no division, nothing. So let me tell you, that was hard, but my point is I tried to let those experiences be few and far in between, because I didn't like the pain of punishment. It wasn't until I became a parent did I understand that the parent experiences pain during punishment of their child. But it is necessary, and it is necessary to correct. God feels the same way. When we sin habitually and ignore his voice of attention and correction, he is grieved. What is grief? It's disappointment, deep sadness, regret. Boy, that regret really hit hard with me. Regret, God? When the children of Israel were disobedient and sinned, God was grieved, angry, sad, disappointed with their behavior. They tested him, and he showed them who he was, but they disregarded everything God did for them. In my words, God said, you made a calf, and you offered a sacrifice over me. You know how people kind of get that attitude, and they get physical with it? You did this to me, or whatever the case may be. So, have any of you ever seen the animated movie Ice Age Meltdown? There's two possums that are with the mammoth, and there's some actions that's going on that they think that they get all cocky and high about it, and they do this. And they walk away. That would have been me with the children of Israel. Somebody in there needed to do this and walk away. Yet they stayed there. And they continued being involved in the sin that was going on. So, what would God have said? OMG? Would he say OMG? Or would he say OMP? Oh, my people. Do you think that God had thought of regret? Because remember, regret is grief. We made them. Do you think we spoke and created too soon? I wish we had given this more thought. No, God said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. You won't go in the promised land. You won't see my rest. And get this, Aaron, the priest, the family of Moses, was a part of this action. To serve an idol God, the leaders in the church. So let's bring the Israelites, the church, to today. As God was grieved with the Israelites, the church, God is grieved about the behavior of his church and says, sound the alarm. Truthfully, the alarm has been sounding a long time, but we have used so many alternative hearing devices that we have damaged our hearing him. In the natural, let me show you something here. Kind of like my dad, and I'm a teacher, so I have to have some type of items to display. So we have headphones. We got earbuds. You talking to somebody, they don't respond to you. It's because they got some earbuds in there. They can't hear what you're saying. So you got headphones and earbuds, and then you pull up alongside a car. A car pulls alongside you, and the volume is so loud, you see their windows vibrating, and your car begins to shake. Because you hear everything that they can't hear, because surely you can't, they just can't hear what's going through those speakers. But I can hear it, and it's annoying to me. Your device gives you a warning when the volume is high. Have you all ever paid attention to that? For those of us who put in earbuds and headphones, it says listening at a high volume for a long time may damage your hearing. Tap OK to allow the volume to be increased above safe levels. So it gives you an option. You tap it so it can destroy your hearing. Think about it. In the spiritual, in the church, me and you, believers in Christ, individually and collectively, we have allowed the volume of the world and our flesh, such as selfishness, jealousy, greed, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, sexual immorality, impurity, indecency, homosexuality, gender confusion, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, drunkenness, divisions, arguments, heated and bitter disagreements, a party spirit, loud, noisy, making inappropriate choices. Read Galatians 5. The influence of the enemy, Satan, and his craftiness with murder, abortion, idolatry, lying, deception, stealing, to interfere with our ability to hear God. There's too much noise, too much interference. The vibrations from sin in our lives or they're around us. We, the church, have become desensitized. We allow unholy things to come into the church to persuade the church to sacrifice the church for prestige, for glory, for honor that doesn't belong to us, but to God. So just as we do in the natural with the message pops up to tell us the volume will damage our hearing, the Holy Spirit sends pop-up messages via transmittal into a human vessel like our pastor and other pastors, ministers, and teachers who are living, and listen to me, who are living a holy life following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And when you read the word, that's another way that you're hearing. But we tap okay by dismissing or ignoring because we have other things to do. Too tired to go to church or to Bible study. Bible study is only an hour, y'all. We are bound because we stepped over into the enemy territory, playing with ungodly things, decreasing the volume of the voice of the Lord to unsafe levels. At that point, the Holy Spirit, he backs off. He becomes saddened and he leaves you alone. That's unsafe territory. You have nothing around you to protect you at all. That's like being over in a foreign country and you going out for war and you have no protection on you. Your weapon is down on the ground. You have nothing to cover you. My God, look at what we do. All for the sake of the flesh. Lord, help us today. As a matter of scriptural fact, in Galatians 5, God tells us, and he says, I told you in the past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is what we should say in Psalms 115:1. Not to us, O Lord. Make it personal, not to me. But to your name be the glory. Because of your love, your mercy, and your faithfulness, and your truth. That's what we should be saying. God told me that the church has itching ears. Itching ears. What do you mean, itching ears? So, of course, I'm a nurse, so I've got to go and think about the medical side of it. Itching ears. So itching ears means that there is no moisture, there's no oil there. There's no wax in there to lubricate it, okay? Or there may be a foreign object in there. The ear.
ears are very sensitive due to the neurological fibers that are on the inside of the ear. God made a magnificent vessel, let me tell you. I awe at it every day. So I didn't understand why God gave me that symptom. So I searched it out. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4:1-5. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Are we there today? But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Wow, God. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So the itching ears was and is turning away from the truth and turn unto their own lies, which are fables or stories, taking their eyes off Christ, doing whatever they want to do, whatever they think or say is right. Itching ears, in a term used in the Bible, is described individuals who seek out messages and doctrines that condone their own lifestyle. So we only speak that part of the Bible that's applicable for me. I am not paying attention to the rest of it. You can say it if you want to, but I'm turning away from that part. Or I'm not coming to your church because you're preaching the truth. I can't be a part of that. I only need this part here that's going to help me. That's what you think. So this is my added interpretation. There's dryness spiritually, and the oil of the Holy Spirit is needed to moisten and heal the dryness. That's where the church is now. How are we to go ye therefore into the world and preach the gospel of good news of Jesus Christ to the nations when the church's light is dim, flickering, or just out? We've allowed the world to integrate. We've adopted their doctrine and accepted what the financial stakeholders want in the church, disregarding what God mandated, a holy and sanctified body. I listened to a documentary one evening. It was she's a former leader now of the LGTB, their magazine. She was leading that part of it. And she disclosed that what they do is that they infiltrate into facilities, organizations, churches, and schools. They get in there to be a part of that board, and then they eventually get to where they move out into the rest of it. They make financial contributions and nobody else can top. They are very wealthy people. So they come in, and so once they get in, she says, and then they begin to change the policies and the procedures in there. So it becomes adaptable to fit them. So then that's why we've got a school only for boys, a school only for girls, or you're sharing restrooms. When did we start doing that? And then they want the church to be able to say that you need to have this particular doctrine to allow them to come in. You can't preach this word. That's how they infiltrate. That's itching ears. That's coming into the word, the place of God, and demanding the way things ought to be for themselves. So they think. Revelations 3:14-16. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Remember in Hebrews, and also it's in Psalms, the Holy Spirit says today, now, if you will hear his voice. Do not turn your heart cold towards him. If we do, we will not enter into his rest. The prophet Joel tells us to repent, to turn from our sins. He predicted the outpouring of the Spirit of God on all people, fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, and written in the book of Acts. It happened, and it's happening now. He also describes natural disasters. He related it to locusts, but declares that this is nothing compared to what is to come, which is the day of the Lord. A message from God can often come packed in the form of a natural disaster. Joel teaches us that the Lord may use a natural disaster to stir in his people a renewed awareness of his will. Any traumatic event of nature, like a flood, fire, the storms, the tropical storms, the earthquakes, should motivate the sensitive ear to listen again to the words of the Lord. God says to us today, now, as written in Joel 2:1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. Oh, yes, it is. For it is nigh at hand. And he's talking to the church. Zion is the church. The holy mountain is the church. The inhabitants are the church. We have had a hearing test before. Do any of you remember? Well, I'll tell you mine. As a little girl, they always tested us in school. They don't do a great deal of that now. But we would have headphones on, and we'd sit and listen to various tones. And you would sit with your head kind of down, your eyes closed, and the operator would say, when you hear the tone on the right or the left, raise your hand. So you'd be like, that's what we did as children. Then I worked at Monsanto, which is now Solutia, and they checked their men's ears, their workers' ears, because they were out there in that plant, all that noise out there. They then placed them in a booth. And in that booth, they would listen to sounds and do the same things, but they would tap to identify that they could hear the sound. We need to practice listening for the voice of God. He speaks in many ways. Come to Bible study and learn. Just as Joel prophesied, we are overwhelmed by a terrible crisis in the land resulting from sin. We are morally insensitive to sin and evil and are unable to recognize when we are offending the holiness of God. The church must be careful that it does not slowly accept the ways of the world and become oblivious to that which grieves the Holy Spirit. Church, it's happening. Joel said to the priests and the ministers, sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders of all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord our God, and cry unto the Lord. What does God do when the righteous cry out to him? He hears, answers, and this one is just blow you away. He comes to you. He hears. He answers, and he's there, quicker than you can blink. Bless God. He is our commander-in-chief, by the way. Joel sounded the alarm. The trumpet, or the shofar, is the Hebrew term for the trumpet, was used to sound the alarm for the assembly of the people for worship. This is a shofar. It's a ram's horn. This represents that ram that was caught in the thicket for Abraham when he had his son up there to give him as a sacrifice. It's bent over to represent man should be in a posture of holiness, of bowing before God. It has the membranes on the inside to tell us that this stuff can stink on the inside, so sin can stink. This represents something here. They use this horn to sound it, to call the people in to worship. There are some false calls out there. You can hear some sounds. And they're calling people in. But we need to know which sound is the true sound. So that trumpet is being sounded. It also was a sound of war. It was to alert people. Hey, something's going on. Pastor told us we're in a spiritual war. We need to be on the alert. They had men sitting on the wall. Nehemiah had people with straps sitting on the wall. And they would blow the trumpet. I'm learning how to blow this because I'm going to blow it one day. Is that they blew that trumpet when the enemy was coming. So they knew what to do. Pull it out or shut out, cut off something. But there's a purpose for this trumpet. They also did it when they walked around the walls of Jericho. They just believed God. They were obedient to God. All he said was blow the trumpet. What you mean blow a trumpet around some walls? What's that going to do? Obedience. The sound brings in God. Hallelujah. It brings in God. You know where it brings in God? Because that's how God's coming back. He's going to blow the trumpet. He's going to alert everybody. I'm here. I'm here. He gets excited about hearing the blowing of the trumpet. So he put in action that those walls of Jericho would fall down. He also did it for Gideon. Can you imagine have a great army you're going to fight over and God tells you only take 300 people with you? And there's 1,000 out there. You sure, God? You want me to take 300? 300, and I think there's probably 10,000 out there. You want me to take 300 people? Yeah, because God does things that are impossible, right? He took those 300 people. Gideon was obedient to that. He said, you do what I do. He said, take a ladder with you. When I blow the trumpet, you do it too. When he blew the trumpet, all 300 of them blew the trumpet and dropped that ladder and said, Lord God, the sword of Gideon and of God. And everything, those men just fell down. And they went with their swords and killed them. They didn't have to fight for anything. That's how God is. He wants us to blow the trumpet. He wants us to sound the alarm. You may not be able to blow the trumpet, blow that saxophone, but you've got a mouth that God has given you that has the breath put into it by the Holy Spirit. You need to use that trumpet and blow it and tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Glory to God. I even hear when the shofar is blown that deliverance takes place. Deliverance on the inside of individuals. Whatever has them bound gets broken off of them. Yes, God, I wish I could blow this trumpet right now. Hallelujah. But God said, make a noise that he will come in and he will have deliverance in this place. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Hallelujah. 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 That's what he'll do for the enemy. Hallelujah. Blow your trumpet in silence when you're at home. Blow that trumpet saying, God, I bless your name. God, I praise you. God, I thank you. Whatever is going on, God, I thank you. My family told me, just say, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. That's all I could think of at the time. God, I trust you. God, I trust you. And my God, he came and he took a hold of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blow the trumpet. That's in praise, but he wants us to blow the trumpet to tell the people that are living in the church that they cannot live an unrighteous and an unholy life. You can't do it. You won't get there. You won't get in his rest. You won't see him in heaven. Hallelujah. God wants his people to hear the sound of the alarm. When Christ returns, there will be a sound of the trumpet announcing his return. Today, there are counterfeit trumpet sounds. Don't be deceived. The day of the Lord, or the day of his judgment, is coming, and he loves us so much that he is allowing us time to get our ears tuned to hear him and to turn to him and seek him with all of our hearts, that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I am blowing the trumpet. That's the assignment he's given me, to sound the alarm. Today, now, if you will hear his voice, don't turn your heart cold to him. Quench not the spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, hear what the Spirit of God has to say to you, the church. Be obedient. Sound the alarm. Yes. Hallelujah. Did you hear the sound of the trumpet? Hallelujah. You got to train your ear to hear it. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
Listen to this. There's more where that came from. And man, you know, have you had good food before, and you eat and you just go, this is good. I mean, you just want seconds, and you want thirds, and until your belly gets ready to pop. I told her before she spoke And she, you know, wanted to talk, and, you know, I pretty much give the same advice my grandfather gave. But one thing I said to her, I like when you're mad. I said, because when you're mad and you're squeezed, I said, that's when the best come out of you. Yes. It's no different than if an orange wasn't squeezed. We wouldn't know what orange juice was. But I told her, I said, I like when you're mad, because when you're mad, that's when you give a very powerful message. She preached. This is one of those, you know, sometimes, you know, you say, well, I don't want to go behind that. You'd rather be before that. You don't want to go behind it. Amen. But thank God, she blessed our hearts. And here's the thing. After she has preached the word, you've heard the word, now there's an invitation to the word of God. Is there one, after hearing the word of God, who does not have coverage? Is there one? We extend an invitation to Christ. The doors of the church is now open, and we extend an invitation to Christ. This is a time that we set aside in our service for you to make a decision. Is there one I'll stay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this spirit-filled worship service. Father God, we thank you for the word that has gone forth this morning. Father God, we lift up Minister Brown to you, Father, right now. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you pour back into her what she has poured out to us. Father God, we pray for each and every one that is here underneath the sound of my voice. Bless them, Lord, and keep them, Lord, as we go into our various places, Lord, throughout the city, throughout the state. Father God, I pray right now for each and every one as their travels. I pray for safe travels, Father God. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.